World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, Mr. Zama.
Are you well this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. And I'm glad to talking to you again, man. Fantastic conversations we have with you here on AWR. Thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Now, we are talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in daily life today. And before Christ ascended to heaven, he told his disciples that he would send one who would teach and guide all those who believe in him. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 5, John 14, 26, and John 16, verse 7. Now, Christ's promise was fulfilled shortly thereafter when the Holy Spirit came in power on the believers at the Pentecost. This is according to Acts chapter 2. Now, I want to know, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? And of course, if you're joining us, we want to answer that question, and the pastor is going to be helping us to navigate as we look for responses for this particular one. Pastor, how does the Holy Spirit guide us in decision making?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's decode the word guide, and then we'll check if the Holy Spirit does that.
Okay.
So, a guide is a person who shows the way, or someone who directs or advises others.
Mm-hmm.
So, does the Holy Spirit do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Mm.
So the Holy Spirit guides, he directs.
Hang on.
In John chapter 16.
Hang on. Before you go to John chapter 16, the verse that you read comes from, it says, trust in the Lord, and the Lord there refers to the Father, not so?
No.
Who does it refer to? Because
the word Lord,
if you read it, it says
Old Testament is Elohim.
Okay.
Which means God.
Mm.
And God is one, but in three persons.
Okay.
So the Father is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord.
Although the Bible actually refers to them differently, for instance, the Bible is able to say Lord, and it also is able to say Jesus, and it is also able to say the Holy Spirit. So it actually distinguishes and separates who it is speaking to at any given time. So why are you putting it together now?
Okay, so it's actually people who put the distinctions to say, here, God was speaking to, the God who was speaking is the Father. The God who appeared here was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The God who was in this is the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Ellen White says this.
Mm.
She says, all the communication that happened with humanity before Christ's incarnation was done by the Son.
Where do we find that quotation?
Which is Jesus Christ.
Hello, Pastor.
It's Patriarchs and Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me. I'll give you the chapter and the page.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's the verse that you have given me in Psalms. You are going to John.
Yes. So I was in Proverbs. I said, the Holy Spirit directs.
Right.
Okay, that means he will give specific directions of how a person must behave and where a person must go and what they should do.
Yeah.
And John chapter 16, verse 13 says,
mm-hmm.
Let me read it quickly for you. John 16, verse 13. Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, he says this.
Mm.
He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides.
So
he directs.
So the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
He is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Paul calls him the Spirit of truth. At some point he calls him the Spirit of Christ. Yes.
All right. You said you're going to be giving me three verses. What's the last one?
In Acts chapter 15.
Yes, Acts chapter 15.
Wait.
Okay. It is 15:37.
In Acts chapter, sorry about that.
That's fine. Go
ahead. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, there was a Jerusalem council. It's known by a lot of Christians there, where a decision had to be made. And the disciples said they were helped by the Holy Spirit to come up with the resolution that happened. Let me give you a bonus. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, yes. The Holy Spirit helps in the selection of Paul and Barnabas.
What does it say there?
Okay.
Right, you're still checking it out. It's 22 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. We're speaking to Pastor Rangarirai Matache, who is talking to us about the role of the Holy Spirit in the daily life. Did you find it, Pastor?
Yes.
What does it say?
Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And when they had fasted and prayed, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" So the Holy Spirit gave certain directives and said, "I want this one and this one, I need to send them someone." Okay.
Right. Now, can the Holy Spirit lead someone to do something that contradicts the scripture?
No. Did I qualify that?
No, you haven't qualified that. You can qualify it, please.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit will never lead someone to contradict scripture. Here is why. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus says that sanctify them, referring to the disciples, through thy word, for thy word is the truth.
Yeah.
In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the truth." In John chapter 16, Jesus says, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me." So Jesus is the truth. In John chapter 1, Jesus is the word. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It is the Spirit of Christ. It will speak the words of Christ. Therefore, it will never contradict what Christ said or what is written in the Bible.
So those who say they were led by the Spirit to, give certain things. I mean, we see in the Bible sometimes but the prophets who were led by the Spirit, presumably, sometimes they didn't get things right. Case in point, sometimes David would depend on the prophet to actually guide, but sometimes they did not guide appropriately. Did not the Holy Spirit mislead there?
No. Last time we said these are the rules of biblical interpretation. Do not quote Bible authors or biblical people when they did something that was wrong. And we said the Bible is both descriptive and prescriptive, meaning the Bible describes what happens regardless of whether it was right or not.
I see.
And then the Bible prescribes, that is God saying this should be done, this should not be done. So most of the times people will quote those verses that are descriptive and they say because it's in the Bible, then it's right.
Lovely. Now, how do I know, how can one know if it is the Holy Spirit guiding them and not simply their own thoughts? Remember that God has created every individual under the sun with intelligence, with thoughts and abilities. Now, if they have thought of something, good idea or whatever it is, why would they want to subscribe it to something outside of them? How do they know it's the Holy Spirit? I mean, because it's their thoughts, effectively.
This one is one of the most difficult questions ever. Yeah, and I want to acknowledge that. I'm not going to theologize here. I will try to be as practical as possible.
Right.
How do you know whether it's the Holy Spirit or it's your thoughts? First, I would ask you a question. If you were married or if you have a child and you get a call by a private number and you don't know who is calling and you say hello and the voice on the other side, you realize it's your wife or it's your child who is speaking. The question is, how do you know that it's your wife?
Because you know the voice.
Because you know the voice. Bingo. So Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep know my voice and I know them. So the question of knowing is a question of relationship. I could go further and say, how do you know your wife's voice? How do you know your child's voice? Because you spend time with them, you live with them. You know.
Because I hear.
You talk to them.
Because I hear their voices, I speak to them and they respond. So in my ear, that particular tone, the tonnage of the voice is familiar. Now, when I read the scriptures, I have no idea of the tonnage, etc., except that I am just reading.
Yes. So the point that I was making before I give you what I think are principles of knowing whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking or not.
Okay.
Is first, you must have an intimate relationship with God so that you can know his ways. You must have an intimate relationship with Jesus because the Holy Spirit is coming to magnify Jesus.
Right.
So you must know him so much, communicate with him, that when he communicates back, you know it's him. Two, you must check where he communicated and check how he used to communicate. Then you can know. So I'm going to give you a short testimony here.
Right, right.
Let me finish the principles, then I'll give you the testimony.
Right.
Two, you must check against scripture. What you think are your thoughts or the Holy Spirit. Let's say you don't know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not.
Okay.
What does the Bible say? Is it not against scripture? You must check your prayer life. How often do you communicate? How is your relationship with God? God usually does not communicate with a person who does not communicate with him. If there is no relationship, there is no communication.
Yeah.
So how is your walk with God? In a book called In the Power and Spirit by Pastor Pavel Goya, he says that one of the days he was teaching his congregants about prayer and that people must pray until they get an answer. And one day, a certain lady came. She was a cleaner, you know, this ordinary lady. She said, God spoke to me. And he told me that we as a church, we must look for a place that we must use as a community service hub. So the pastor said, how do you know that it's God? She said, I know it's God. He spoke to me. He taught us that we must pray enough, listen enough. He told me we must do this. So the pastor said, okay, you can go and do it. And she said, no, I want to go with you. And the pastor said, no, you know, I'm busy. And she said, every Thursday, let's go and look for this place. So he said, okay, I finally agreed. And they went every Thursday. They looked all over for places to rent the whole day. They did not find. And she said, and the pastor said, okay, we are done. You see, we did what God told you. We did not find the place. He said, pastor, I'll see you next Thursday. And he said, no, I didn't say every Thursdays. She said, you taught us to pray until. So the following Thursday, they went, they moved into the neighborhood. Door by door, they did not find the following Thursday. They did that for a month. And they finished the neighborhood. And the lad kept on saying, let's go look. They went into the next neighborhood. They next month, 3 months later, they had finished the three neighborhoods. And the pastor said, no, you know what? I don't doubt that God spoke to you, but tell your God that we have done our part. We are giving up. And the lad said, no, let's go back again. And they went back to the first neighborhood. They moved around to the places where they had gone, and they arrived to this businessman. He said, I know you. You have been here before. And I told you there's no space. I said, yeah. And he said, on a second thought, I have been running low on my business, so I'm closing this part of business so I can allow you to rent, because at the meantime it's better for me to make something than to get nothing. So you can rent here whilst I use the other half. And he said, almost immediately when this man gave them that, the pastor prayed, thank you Lord, you have provided this. As he finished praying, his phone rang. It was the manager of a big retail shop. He said, is this an Adventist pastor? I said, yes. He said, yeah, I heard that you have been looking, you want to open a community hub. We are closing one of our branches here, and we have decided to donate our groceries to you. And the pastor was shocked, like, wow. Do you have space? He said, yeah, we have space. And they were given the groceries. And the community had known that there were people who want to open a community service. So that way, as they were knocking on doors, looking for answers, everyone, they were campaigning. It was their way of telling everyone that we are about to open a hub. So when the groceries came, they started giving out the groceries. And the people came, and the following day he was called by the radio station, the local radio station. He said, I heard you have a community that you are giving free groceries. We would like to cover your program. And they were on national radio. To cut the long story short, had God answered their prayer instantly when they looked for accommodation, they were not going to publish and go door to door telling people we have opened a community hub. So sometimes when we pray for God to answer, we must be patient. These are the principles. We must be willing enough to obey God. Usually when God speaks, because God is big, he speaks big. And most of the things he speaks will not make sense to us. But we must obey. And the results usually are out of our comfort zone. I wanted to give you the second testament, but I guess we are running out of time.
Yeah, we will be out of time because I just need us to. So the lady was asked by the pastor in your testimony, the testimony that you shared. Now, in her response, she says, I know, because the pastor asked, how do you know? And she,
yes,
she did not answer, how did she know? She simply said, I know. Now, how do I recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit then?
Okay, so the key principle that I said, you must have a relationship with God.
Mm.
Communicate often with Him. Read the Bible. Learn how He communicates with people.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when He communicates, He will communicate things that are not opposed to His word. The voice will be gentle. God will tell you something that is out of your comfort zone. Mm. Something that you are not willing to do under ordinary circumstances. Something that will give you peace. The voice will be persistent in most cases.
Yeah, yeah.
You will have this thought. You try to rub it. It will keep on coming.
Mm.
But it's in line with the truth.
Right. Before I let you go, Pastor, thank you so much for that. How can we cultivate a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit's guidance in our day-to-day mundane activities? Not just the big decisions like the examples that you made, but, you know, in a day-to-day activity, how do we cultivate and have that a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit's guidance?
Thank you so much. One, you must have a daily relationship with God. That means talk to God daily and listen to God daily. That means read His Bible because that's how He speaks to you. Read His word. Familiarize yourself with how He deals with humanity. Spend much time with Him daily. Make it deliberate. Read the Bible, familiarize, develop this intimate relationship. And lastly, surrender daily. When you wake up, say, God, I am willing to be used by you. If you want me to be a blessing to someone, let those people cross my path. So use me the way you want.
Mm.
You will be surprised by how many people will be blessed by you, by smaller things.
Mm.
Your just little words of encouragement will save someone from suicide.
Mm-mm.
You being nice in at workplace, a sympathetic gesture will be a testimony for good. You, some of the things that we'll do, we'll never recognize the impact until we are saved.
Mm-mm-mm.
So we must be willing to be used by God. We must surrender daily to Him.
Well, Pastor, let's leave it there. It's been a fantastic one. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be talking to you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.